Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial is just mentioned, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. A lot of you already hanging on. I will get to your calls in just a moment, but I want to mention something that I mentioned previously. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was an article in the newspaper, front page headline, that said that 2016 broke the record for the hottest year ever. Well, this story was actually a story that came out in the New York Times. And when challenged by Robert Trzezinski on this article by Justin Gillis, claiming that 2016 was the hottest year on record, well, Gillis responded by saying that readers of the New York Times were, well, not smart enough to figure out the numbers. Because as it turns out, the actual amount by which this year was hotter than the previous years is smaller than the margin of error in the data. As Trzezinski pointed out, the accurate headline should have been not 2016 breaks record for hottest year ever, but rather last year's temperatures indistinguishable from the previous year. Now, that would be boring, but, well, at least it would be truthful. Not only so, but Dr. Roy Spencer, former NASA climatologist, reported that the difference between 2016 and 1998, which, of course, was the last big El Nino warming cycle, is also within the margin of error. And therefore, if the news were that this year is not significantly hotter than 19 years ago, it would help to temper climate change hysteria. The problem is the New York Times and other news organizations seemingly have adopted an explicit policy of blacklisting those who disagree with their PC narrative. Never let the facts get in the way of a good story. My reason for bringing this out is simply that, as always, we're urging people to exercise discernment so that they can discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light. I did talk about how to deal with the whole issue of climate change in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go to the phone lines. First up, Kathy, listening in Tupper Lake, New York, on NRB Television. Hi, Kathy.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, the previous caller kind of asked part of my question, or my question, or she, but I will ask the question that I had was, is anybody in hell right now, or does it all happen after Jesus comes back and the devil gets chained and thrown in the pit, and is that when everybody is actually goes to hell?
Well, there's an earnest or a foretaste of hell, and we read about that in Luke chapter 16, where a rich man is in torment. But that rich man, like everyone else that is separated from the goodness and glory of God, is awaiting a time of resurrection, as Jesus Christ communicated. Do not be amazed. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. If you look at what's going on, there is a time where even death and Hades is thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire considered to be Gehenna, or the second death, the permanent place of separation from the love, the goodness, and the glory of God. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Margaret in Nashville, Tennessee, also an NRB listener. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, how are you? I'm so glad I got the call. I'm usually in the car. Tonight I'm home watching the NRB, so I got the call.
Well, wonderful.
I have two questions. One is the Matthew 7:22, where many will say in my name, many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And he will declare he never knew them. I'm sure you've been asked this lots of times. I've just never heard you talk about it. In my thought, reading that, I'm thinking maybe at one time the gift was given to them and then they misused it. Give me your understanding of that scripture. And the other one is biblical law. Sometimes I get confused. I think maybe I'm comparing emotion to a choice. And then I will, you go through situations in this life and you wonder if, or I do, I wonder if I really love. So that's it, and I'll let you talk.
Okay, sure. Yeah, let me take the last part of your question first. And I think it's important for us to realize that love ultimately is not just a feeling. Feelings ebb and flow. Love is a commitment. And so I oftentimes liken love into a rose. A rose has a fragrance, but the fragrance is not just the rose itself. It is a result of the rose itself. And so love is a commitment. The feelings, again, ebb and flow. In terms of what's going on in this very significant passage, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is talking about a tree and its fruit, and he says that we ought to watch out for false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. And then later on, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And he's, in the context, talking about these false prophets. They look like the real deal. He might have had in mind Judas. I often think that this is precisely what he had in mind. If you would have looked at Judas, he would have looked like someone dressed in sheep's clothing. He was sharing the gospel. He was part of Christ's inner circle. He was performing miracles. If you were around back then, you would have said, I want to be like Judas. But Jesus saw beyond the externalities and saw the heart of Judas and recognized that he was someone who had a said faith. He said, Lord, Lord, but in his heart, he was not there for the Lord. He was there because of what was on the Lord's table. So this, again, has to do with false prophets who prophesy in the name of God and perform miracles in the name of God, or at least pseudo-miracles. They feign miracles. But their heart is far away from the Lord. So that's the context of Matthew chapter 7, that part of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jake, listening in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Jake.
Hello. I was wondering if someone was born on an island with no access to the Bible or its teachings, would they be permitted into heaven?
Well, Jake, I would leave that person in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, and that is not to dodge the question. It is simply to say that God will do all things rightly, but we do have some information to go on, and that is, regardless of where you live, you have light. And if you respond to that light, you can receive more light. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, made that plain when he said that there were many who had light but disregarded the light. And so the real problem, according to Jesus, was not that there wasn't enough light, but the men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So it's never the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that damns. And the verse that I quote most regularly in this regard comes from Paul when he's in Athens in the Areopagus. It's kind of interesting. I was just listening to the Word of God audio New Testament presented in dramatic audio theater in my car this morning, and when I was listening to it, that very passage came up where Paul says that from one man, God made every nation of men so that they might inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of them. The point being that God places people in the precise situations where they can receive his goodness, his glory, and his grace. We all have the light of creation, and he's also written a knowledge of himself on the tablet of our consciousness. If we respond to that light, we'll receive more light.
I like that answer very much. It does bring into question, though, that if the light would have no name to this man on the island, is it not possible that it is a subjective light? And that it can be called many different things.
Yes, that's absolutely right. In fact, it's a good point that you make, and that's why I point out that the light of creation is significant. It's necessary, but we need more than that, right? So we not only can look at the lights, as it were, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and you can probably see it on the desert island better than you can in a light-polluted city, but you not only have that light, but that light you can respond to, and that light leads you to further light. Again, you have the light of conscience, but if you respond to that light, you can receive the light of Christ. So the real issue, as Pascal pointed out, is not the absence of light, as Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. Pascal pointed out that Christ, or God, dwells in enough obscurity so that if you don't want to find him, you won't, but enough light so if you do want to find him, you will. So the idea is light begets light, and the light of creation can beget more than its own light. It can beget the personal light of Christ. Now, the normative way in which we receive that light is through human agency, but it is not the only way. God can encounter someone directly as well. So the one thing we know is that if someone is thirsty for light, God is not going to throw an obstacle in his path.
Is it possible then that the light that people see and some call it Christ, and some call it God, and some call it Buddha, and some call it Allah, but those are simply all manifestations of the same light passing through a prism, and that we're all seeing it subjectively, and that other people are not worshiping a different God, they're worshiping a different name of the same God that we all have.
No, that would be false, and self-evidently false. Reason I say self-evidently false, all of these different religious constructs have views of God that are diametrically opposed to one another. So you have Moses, who believed in one God, and Krishna, who believed in many gods, and Buddha, who was agnostic concerning God. Now, they can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. So again, the point is, it's not just your perception as manifested through a prism. It is instead you responding to that which corresponds to reality. In other words, you responding to that which is true. And the things that are true are communicated to you through evidence. I mean, we have evidence that creation always demands a creator. We have evidence that the Creator is not just someone unknowable, although he is ineffable, but he came in incarnation so that we could know him in the person work of Jesus Christ, who demonstrated that he is God through the fact of resurrection. And we also have a reliable authority, as opposed to, let's say, for example, the Quran, which is beset with faulty ethics, factual errors, and, of course, feigned eloquence. The eloquence is not real, it's feigned. The emperor has no clothes. How different from the Bible. By the way, I have written about this in a book called Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, available for those who support the ministry all this month, as well as the aforementioned Word of God Audio New Testament, presented in pneumatic audio. You can find those resources on the web at equip.org, and I'll be right back with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
The great Protestant reformer Martin Luther testified, "I am well satisfied with the gift of the Holy Scriptures, which give me abundant instruction and all that I need to know for this life and for that which is to come." Luther's wise words ought to prompt us to hit the pause button and become immersed in God's Word. To help you do that, CRI is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized new audio production voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score, along with wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast, featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. To stand our ground effectively against today's assaults on the Christian worldview, we must, as Hank Hanegraaff says, get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us. To help you do that, the Christian Research Institute is offering the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This new magnificently dramatized production is voiced by an all-star cast and features an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or go online at equip.org. Once again, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Next up is Douglas listening in Chase, British Columbia, Canada, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Douglas.
Hi, Hank. Pleasure to talk to you. Thank you very much. I have a fairly insignificant question, but regardless, my wife and I in our Bible readings, we've come across in a number of places, on many occasions, that after Jesus did a miracle for someone, the person had to go and tell anybody. Now, we have our own conclusions, thoughts on what that could, why he did it, but what's your perspective?
Well, it's kind of interesting because Christ was demonstrating that he was the only one who could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies, if for no other reason than the miracles himself, which testified that what he was doing set him apart. No one from the history of humanity was able to do the kinds of things that Jesus Christ was doing, like giving blind eyes sight. But there are many people that wanted to counter all of that, and they wanted to do that with false political views of Messiah. And these were circulating throughout the world at that time. And you have to remember that the mission of Christ could only be fully understood in light of his crucifixion and resurrection. Indeed, his disciples themselves did not fully understand the mission until then. I mean, you think about the fact that these disciples were thinking that Jesus somehow or other had come to be someone who would set up a theocratic kingdom for them. And it wasn't until he was ascending into heaven and they were asking him questions that he put the record straight for them, because they still didn't understand that they were to be missionaries to the world, not those who were assigned to developing a new theocracy. So Jesus wanted the people to have a context for what he was doing. His mission was not merely temporary miracles, but a new heaven, a new earth in which they would never again suffer these kinds of indignities and afflictions. And Jesus, in context here, is more interested in equipping his disciples, therefore, simply having them be intoxicated about multiplying loaves and fishes. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to John in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks so much for taking my call. Got a couple quick questions for you. The Crusades, if you can just give me a quick rundown or history on the Crusades and how that affected Christianity, our Christianity today, if it did at all. And then any sources that you would recommend me reading up on that are reliable.
Yes. I have some good sources for you, and if you hang on, we'll get those sources out to you. The only reason I can't give them to you is I can't remember what they are off the top of my head, but let me just, off the top of my head, give you a little a sense of what the history was. You got to remember, by the Middle Ages, the Muslim menace had become so acute that despite the Great Schism, remember that happened in 1054? The split between the Eastern Church and the Western Church. Despite that, Emperor Alexius of Constantinople implored the Western pontiff to come to the aid of the beleaguered Eastern Church. And therefore, back in 1095, Pope Urban II formulated the first of the Christian Crusades, and there were many. Now, historical revisionists have cynically recast these crusades as imperialistic ventures, but that was hardly the intent of the crusades. The crusades spelled relief, and relief that was only short-lived, because in 1244, I think it was, Muslims regained Christian holy sites. They murdered thousands in Caesarea. They put thousands more to the sword in Antioch and sold tens of thousands into slavery. And with the dawn of the 14th century, the Crusades were history, but obviously the Muslim horror was not and has continued to be a horror from the 7th century all the way to the 21st century. There was a classic monograph. I think it was titled The Crusades, Christianity, and Islam. It was written by Jonathan Riley Smith. That might be a good resource for you, but we have others. It underscored, really, I think, the transcendent distinction between jihad as mandated by Sharia and just war theory as delineated by centuries of Christian theology. Jonathan Riley Smith points out is that for more than 2,000 years of Western history, violence, whether that violence was expressed in warfare or in armed rebellion or in the employment of a force as a state sanction, and whether wholly or merely illicit, always required three criteria. Without those criteria, it was just illegitimate. The first was, you can't enter into war lightly or for aggrandizement. Very, very different than the Muslim idea. But you can only enter into it for a legally sound reason. And then war had to be reactive as opposed to being proactive, like Muslim war. The second is that it had to be formally declared by an authority recognized as having the power to make these kinds of declarations. And third, it had to be waged justly. So just war theory separates Christian war or the Christian precedent for war from the kind of war that has been exacted through 14 centuries of Muslim history.
Interesting. Okay. That's very interesting. I look forward to studying more about that. It's just, I come across a lot of when I'm defending our faith, Christians have been fighting wars for centuries and they kill good people for centuries. And I've heard you talk about it before, but I really need to get some study.
Yeah, and even that is sort of a canard, isn't it? Because if you think about how Christianity advances, it advances by the word. Islam, by contrast, advances by the sword. So if you think about what happened from the time of Christ and the apostles, where Jesus told them to leave Jerusalem and then go into Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, they were to conquer, as it were, by word. In other words, by changing people's hearts. And that's what happened up until the 7th century. Well, after the 7th century, you have Islam taking back the same territories that were won by word, by sword. And that has continued on. So you have people communicating information that is simply false. And I think that the real problem in our country right now is not Islamophobia, as seems to be the catchword, but Christophobia. That seems to be the operative problem.
So that 7th century, and I didn't get all the names and all that, but at that time, the Christians formed the Crusades for protection against this Muslim uprising.
Well,
Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I mean, now, this is not to sanitize the Crusades and say that there was nothing illicit that was happened during the Crusades. That's not the point. The point is that if you look at Christianity, it advances by the word. Islam advances by the sword. So you look at the territories that became Christian. The whole Roman Empire became Christian by the 4th century. Those same territories won by the word were captured by the sword of Islam. So that's the essential point that I'm making.
Okay. Awesome. That's awesome, and look forward to it. And thank you so much for your work and standing strong and just speaking the truth. We love it out here listening to you guys. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And, you know, just a postscript to that, you don't see Christian jihad today. You don't see Christian terrorism today. But you do see radical Islamic jihadism today. It is a scourge on the planet. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Kathleen. She's listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So my question is about the January issue of National Geographic. So I'm wondering, it's not supposed to be a scientific magazine, but there are a bunch of things in there that they do say are supposed to be science. Like they talk about some studies and stuff. I'm wondering if you could comment on what they call science in that issue about gender.
I can't because I haven't read that particular issue, although I will read it and comment on it. On a future edition of the Bible Instrument broadcast. But in general, there's a principle here, and that is throughout human history, gender has been tied to biology. Today, people are trying to extract gender from biology and say that gender is merely a function of feeling. And therefore, you have what's known as gender fluidity, along with a broad variety of gender designations, the idea again being that you can feel like a man in a woman's body one day and vice versa the next. So there is no such thing as gender tied to biology. It has huge ramifications for human civilization, and I would almost bet, I don't want to be unkind, but I would almost bet without reading the article that there's a lot of misinformation on the gender issue, because National Geographic tends to go with the PC narrative that supports their stakeholder interest. But I'll read the article and try to comment on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We are coming up to station break. On the other side of the break, I'll be back with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll also be giving you a quote of the day. I think you'll love the quote of the day. Again, that and many other answers to your questions coming up on the other side of the break. A quick reminder that those who would like to, we would encourage you to join the CRI support team and stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Back in just a bit with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
There is a battle for truth raging around us, but the firm foundation upon which Christians stand is God's Word. It is the supreme authority and knowledge base from which our worldview radiates. Become grounded in God's Word through the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. Brilliantly recorded, it is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich new production voiced by internationally renowned actors. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Hank will be back after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Immerse yourself this year in the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament. This brilliantly recorded audio New Testament is a deeply inspiring, spiritually and artistically rich production voiced by internationally renowned actors, including Neil McDonough, Sean Astin, Blair Underwood, and many more. In addition to the star-studded cast for the many voices of the New Testament, this magnificently dramatized recording includes an original music score and wonderful sound effects to make the Scriptures come alive, helping listeners to feel that they're personally witnessing the life-changing words and world-changing events of 2,000 years ago. Receive your copy of the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff writes, like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast, featuring an original musical score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Well, let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day, it comes from Orthodox theologian Vladimir Lossky, who wrote this: after the fall, human history is a long shipwreck awaiting rescue. But the port of salvation is not the goal. It is the possibility for the shipwrecked to resume his journey, whose sole goal is union with God. Of course, Vladimir Lossky was an influential Orthodox Christian theologian in exile from Russia. He only lived about 54 years. He died in Paris, 8 years after I was born, in fact. It was 1958. A great quote from a great Orthodox Christian theologian. I also wanted to add a postscript to my little answer on what happens with the Muslim juggernaut, which always advances by the sword. And I was thinking during the break of the fact that September 11, 2001 is inextricably linked in my mind to something that happened September 11, 1683. But September 11 was not only important in that sense, it was decisive in world history. Because you got to remember, within mere decades of the death of Muhammad, the jihadi juggernaut conquered Egypt. Egypt was the breadbasket of the ancient classical Christian world. But they also conquered Syria, its brain. And by 711, Arab armies had defeated the king of Spain and in less than 10 years controlled most of that territory. And if Jan Sobieski, the king of Poland, had not halted Muslim expansion at the gates of Vienna, September 11, 1683, well, the whole of Europe would have fallen to Islam as well. And that poses a real, real interesting situation for what's going on in Europe right now, where you have migration without assimilation, aptly called the serpent or the snake that swallows its prey with a long and a slow digestion. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Albert in Roseville, Kansas, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Albert.
Hi, Hank. Me and my wife, Tamara, listen to your show on the way home from work all the time. We love you guys, and we pray that God continue to bless the ministry. But my question today is in the book of Acts 16:31, where the Lord begins to speak. They replied, it says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you and your whole household shall be saved. My question to you today is, I have many people in our congregation, we pastor a local church here, that stand on the promise. They say it's a promise that if their children go back to the world or they do not serve God, they have a promise that their children will be saved if they serve God. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Well, no, if you read the entire context, and I was, again, just listening to this on the Word of God audio Bible, presented dramatic audio, which is available for those who support the ministry all this month. But you listen to this very, very epic story, or read it in the Bible. Remember what the disciples said. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to the jailer, and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Now, the reason that I quote that whole part of the passage is the text tells us that he had become a believer in God, but his whole family had become believers in God as well. So the context tells you that they were saved because they believed. They had placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we're now becoming willing participants in the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
Amen. So, like, if somebody came to me and said, "Well, if I get saved, my whole family will get saved." No, they have to, the family that's not saved they have to become believers to be saved, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole issue is they have to respond, just as if you were saved, you responded to the light of creation, the light of conscience, and responded to the light of Christ. They must do so as well. So it's not as though you are in because your father is in. You have to accept the faith of our fathers living still.
Right. Yeah, I just wanted to be sure about that. Because we do have some people in our church who say they stand on that scripture. You know, they have children that are not serving God, but since they have been promised that their household shall be saved, their household has to become believers before they can accept that promise, right?
Yeah, and so standing on the scripture means not taking out of context the scripture, but rather reading the scripture within its context.
Amen. Well, thank you, Hank. You are awesome. I'm telling you, me and my wife get off work at 5 o'clock Central Time, and we drive home about 40 minutes, and we love your show. You are awesome. All that you do for the Lord is awesome, and we're going to continue to believe God for your ministry and keep us in prayer as we go forth and build the church here in Wichita, Kansas.
Well, bless you. Thank you so much for those kind words, and I am not awesome. I'm sincerely appreciate the compliment, but it is, you know, the Lord condescends to use us. In spite of our weaknesses, He condescends to use us, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Sue in Council Bluff, Iowa. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Hank. I was listening to your program, and I heard you talking about the gender identity crisis. I've been studying up on these vaccines that we're giving everybody, and I heard a scientist talk the other day, and she was talking about how we're using, you know, for the live virus vaccines like the measles and chickenpox, they have to use an aborted fetus so that the live virus can work on that. And so they've aborted, they had to abort 27 babies to get one baby that had the measles, which was horrible. But anyway, she talked about these particles of DNA that we're putting in these vaccines, and she said they are now beginning to investigate whether or not this has anything to do with the identity crisis that we're seeing among our young people and then the suicides. Have you read or heard anything about that?
I have not, and look, I think what's even more toxic is misinformation, disinformation, and the narrative that is being communicated ad nauseum, ad infinitum, through so many different mediums, the narrative being that gender is not related to biology, the extraction of gender from biology. That is a false narrative, and I think that's the real poison in society today. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to James in Chatsworth, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, James.
Hey, Hank, I'm honored to talk to you. I have a question about Calvinism and Arminianism, the difference, and do we have to fall in one of these categories?
No, and I'm glad you phrased the question that way. One of the things we do in an article, several articles that we have on the web that deal with this issue, is point out that the debate is not between Calvinists and Arminians of necessity, but it is between Calvinists and non-Calvinists. Oftentimes that debate is set in such a way that you're sort of in a loose situation because you have to take the other position. Well, those aren't the only two positions available. But in terms of Arminianism, Jacob Arminius, he was a Dutch Reformed minister. He was a student of Theodore Beza. Theodore Beza was John Calvin's son-in-law, kind of interesting. The Arminian position is very, very different from the Calvinist position. Again, the way in which you can understand these differences and deal with them is to listen to these debates that we have. These debates are in writing. So listen in the sense of reading and comprehending and thinking about it, and then taking the arguments that the Calvinist produces and the argument that the non-Calvinist produces, and seeing if they square well with the scriptures that they're alluding to or underscoring. So I think that's the real issue. Test all things in light of scripture and hold fast to that, which is good. The other thing that I think is really important is to realize that there's a tension between God's sovereignty and human will. And oftentimes I think that tension is minimized. It's an antinomy. It's a tension that we ought to take seriously. And as a result of that tension, I think that the debate can go on in a collegial fashion as opposed to being one of those things that we oftentimes set up as an acid test for orthodoxy. That shouldn't be. In essentials, we ought to have unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and in all things, charity.
All right. Thank you so much, Hank. I really appreciate you.
Well, you got it, and you can find these articles on the web at equip.org. You can also subscribe to my daily e-truth. I don't mention that enough, but I should. It is an absolutely fantastic resource, and it comes directly to your inbox every single day. Another way to get your answers or your questions answered. Also, you can download CRI's Equip app. Just go to equip.org/app. You can listen, learn, you can share. You can listen to the live Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can listen to archived editions. You can read hundreds of well-researched and relevant articles. And you can even support the ministry on the app at equip.org. And we're also, as I alluded to earlier on in the broadcast, asking people to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. Number of ways that you can do that. One is, if you support our ministry this month, we'll be pleased to send you something that will equip you. The Word of God Audio New Testament, presented in dramatic audio theater, or my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. But you can also join the CRI monthly support team. When you do, I'll be pleased to personalize my book, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, to you, a family member or a friend. We need many of you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. Stand with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. We do what we do, not for temporary pleasure, but for eternal consequence. So standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth really does make a difference for time and for eternity. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today. To help you immerse yourself in the teachings of Scripture, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version, voiced by an all-star cast and featuring an original music score. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff writes, "Like a rock of Gibraltar embedded in a sea of manuscript copies, the Bible is yet and forever will be an immovable bulwark fueling our faith and shattering the waves of skepticism and doubt. Yet the Bible provides shelter from the waves of skepticism and doubt only when Christians become thoroughly grounded in the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the Scriptures with the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament, a magnificently dramatized audio New Testament in the Revised Standard Version voiced by an all-star cast, featuring an original music score and wonderful sound effects. Receive the Word of God Audio Bible New Testament as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.